it's difficult to get a handle on what's going on in Syria. Human rights activists say hundreds of people have been killed as President Bashar al-Assad's government cracks down on the protests that started in mid-March. But a Syrian government official says some 100 soldiers and security forces have been killed by those protesters, whom she calls armed militants, manipulating the legitimate demands of the Syrian people. That official, Busaina Shaban, also told New York Times reporter Anthony Shadid that the Syrian government now has the upper hand in the conflict. Shadid is one of the few Western reporters to visit Syria. He was in Damascus for just a few hours yesterday. While he was there, he also spoke with a prominent Syrian businessman who said that the country's ruling elite will fight the protests to the end. And Anthony joins us now from Beirut. Anthony, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
So can I just ask you, you were recently held for several days in Libya. Did you think twice when you were then invited to go to Syria?
You know, it did cross my mind, but the deliberations had gone so long just to enter Damascus and to interview the people I wanted to interview that it was hard to imagine anything bad would happen. I think if something bad was to happen, it would have been much easier to get into the country.
Why did the government invite you in the first place?
Well, it wasn't actually a formal invitation by the government. I had been working to get an interview with a key business figure there for some time, and that interview finally came through. And then once I arrived in Damascus, they told me that Dr. Busaina Shaban would be available to talk, and so I just kind of went over to the office. There wasn't an appointment ahead of time.
Do you know why the change? Because Western journalists really have been kept out of the country since the uprising started.
I don't think there was any change, to be honest. It was just a matter of context that had allowed me to get in to see this businessman, and I think there is some discussion within the government on allowing foreign journalists in, but it's definitely not a priority at this point. This is a regime in survival mode and overwhelmed with the circumstances of the uprising.
Tell us, who is Shaban?
You know, Busaina Shaban is an interesting figure. She's been a longtime advisor, spokeswoman for the government. She joined the government under Mr. Assad's father, Hafez, who took power in 1970. And she's had different incarnations over the years. She's now a political and media advisor, but she often serves as kind of the face of the government.
And the government's perspective in this particular case is that this was an armed uprising, correct?
That's right. You know, while most of the world sees this as popular protest, largely peaceful, demanding change in one of the region's most authoritarian governments, the government itself very much casts this as an armed uprising. And it's hard to, ascertain whether this is rhetoric or whether it's the real belief of the government, but it has used that definition of an armed uprising to justify a ferocious crackdown that's led to thousands of arrests. And we've heard today that it might be even more than 10,000, hundreds of deaths, and essentially the siege of four cities across Syria.
And the government describes the folks involved in the uprising as extremists and smugglers, ex-cons, people just trying to create trouble. So who really is behind the uprising? Is there one central force here?
Well, I think there's deep disenchantment in the countryside in Syria. It's a countryside that's been neglected for years by the government, has suffered a five-year drought. The state itself is beleaguered. It no longer has the resources to meet the basic needs and essential services of the people. The complaints and the grievances of the people are long-standing, and in some ways they were waiting for a spark that was provided by these protests that erupted in a town called Deraa in mid-March. The government doesn't see it that way. Well, now, Dr. Shaban said she viewed some of the demands as legitimate. She did think that the protests have been hijacked by what she called, as you described, these armed elements, what they call, militant Islamists, convicts, and so on. You know, American officials acknowledge that there are some protesters who have taken arms, and it's hard to dispute that at least some soldiers and security forces have died in these clashes, although the circumstances are very unclear. But I think that cast these protests as the work of a small clique of militant Islamists is hard to believe, to be honest.
And what about the number of people who've been killed? We heard from a Syrian human rights group today that 757 civilians have been killed in Syria since the uprising began. What does the government say about the deaths from this?
It's hard to overstate how different these two narratives are. The narrative of the protesters and a narrative shared by most of the world, and then the narrative of a government that is somewhat paranoid and retrenching itself in the face of this crisis. This government sees itself in survival mode. It sees itself as besieged, and it's signaled in very blunt terms that it's going to use force, brute force, to crush these demonstrations.
Mm-hmm. And you were in Damascus, as you said. What does it look like there? Do you see people demonstrating?
Damascus felt very ordinary. I hadn't been there in several years, and it military buildup in the streets anywhere. There might have been a few guards, a few extra guards at embassies and some government buildings. But it's a city that felt quite normal, quite ordinary. Now, that's not unexpected. I mean, since the beginning of the uprising, people have waited to see whether the protests would spread to Syria's two largest cities, Aleppo and Damascus, and they have not yet. But there is a lot of tumult going on inside towns on the outskirts of Damascus, poorer towns, and the government has deployed a remarkable degree of force to prevent protesters from those outskirts from entering Damascus itself.
Where do you think this is headed with these two very different narratives about exactly what's going on and why?
Well, it's hard to say, and I think Friday is going to prove interesting. It's a test to the protesters' ability to turn out numbers in the streets again, numbers especially after a crackdown that has basically shut down some of the most restive cities and towns in the country. If they can turn out these protesters yet again on another successive Friday, it's going to show a remarkable resilience on their part. This is going to be a protracted struggle, though, I think. And even in the near term, if the government is able to prevail, and there's no reason to think it wouldn't, just given the amount of force that it can deploy, it's going to face long-term challenges that have by no means been addressed.
What was the most striking thing, you think, that you heard from the government?
I think I was struck by the degree to which the government saw itself threatened, the degree to which it was blaming outside powers for this unrest, and the extent to which it's willing to go to crush these protests. This is not an uprising that it sees a political solution to, as protesters have demanded. I think that may augur some grim days ahead.
Anthony Shadid with the New York Times. He's one of the few Western journalists to actually visit Syria during the anti-government protests taking place there. Anthony, thanks for speaking with us. Stay safe, huh?
Sure, my pleasure.